What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week, we're coming at you with our first Christmas movie of the year. And Brooke, who likes to fucking torture me, decided to pick Black Christmas from 2006.
That is right.
Now, we did this, well, we did the original way back, episode number 3 in the fruition of our podcast. And I went back and I re-listened to that episode the other day. And I think we got to re-record that one, man, because that was hot dog shit.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. But for this one, we are not alone. We are joined by Brian from Reviewing History Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited. I love getting to talk horror, so that's good.
Yeah. And you kind of reached out saying that Christmas horror is your favorite subgenre of horror, I think.
Yeah. So. I love horror, but there's nothing to me like Christmas horror. I love that setting. I think it's perfect. Like setting like the best time of the year with a horrific incident. Mm-hmm. It's like chocolate and peanut butter to me. I think it goes perfect. Like, it's a shame we never got like, you know, Ash in like a Christmas thing, because that could have been perfect.
Sick. Yeah.
Right?
That would have been cool. Like Ash versus Krampus or something.
Yeah, and like the Christmas tree's coming alive and like he's pruning it with the chainsaw. Like there's so much silly fun shit you could do.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to us a little bit about your podcast, because you guys have a very interesting premise on what you guys do. And I think your YouTube channel is like fucking top tier production. I think it's amazing. You guys do a great job with every episode that you have. But for our listeners that maybe don't know you, give us a little bit of a breakdown on what you guys do.
First of all, thank you for the kind words about the production, because that's all me. And I take great pride in the way the show looks and like is edited and all that. So thank you for saying that. My show is called Reviewing History. We're a comedy and history podcast. We go through movies based on true stories, and we tell you what's real and fake in them as we bust balls and make jokes with each other. If you want to find out like the truth behind like the first Gladiator, we did a show on it. There's a million movies. We're at like 130 so far. We do a weekly show, one movie a week, and then we have one episode a month that's called a pick episode, where we each bring a random historical topic to the table and we tell you about it. And then at the end, we pick the next three movies we're going to watch. And that's kind of the flow of the show. So it's like a hangout episode and then three movie episodes, and the cycle just repeats. But the reason I'm really here today is we have a big Christmas special out right now. It's called The Christmas Freak Off. It's on bandcamp.com. It's $5. You get 4 hours of Christmas laughs, games, songs. I can't recommend it enough. If anyone here listens to Tell 'Em Steve Dave, the podcast, Tell 'Em Steve Dave, I do video work on there, and I basically ripped off the Christmas format and took my own, and I'm using it for my own purposes on my show. It's called The Christmas Freak Off. You get for $5 a 3-hour Christmas podcast with games, fun, anything you could want, tons of fun and frivolity. And then we also have an hour long podcast going over Die Hard, start to finish, making jokes, having fun. If you spend the money on it, I promise you, you're going to have a good time. We also have a bundle with last year's Christmas podcast. It's $10. It comes with last year's Christmas podcast called This Ain't No Whack Christmas. Half of the money for This Ain't No Whack Christmas will always go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So you can buy any one of our things. If you buy the bundle, we're still going to honor that money and send it to St. Jude. But if you would rather give us money, which obviously we prefer, you could just buy ours and you'll laugh either way, because they're both top tier. I stand behind both of them.
That's
You
awesome.
guys could tell I've done that a lot at this point,
A
right?
few times, yeah, a few times.
I was telling them for your show's listeners, I was telling them off mic, this is like the 30th podcast I've done since like the middle of November. So I've been
It's
hawking this
crazy.
thing everywhere, doing a hawk tour of this show.
Just don't buy into that fucking meme coin that she's got out there now.
Yeah,
Just buy our podcast instead. It's way
there
better.
you go.
Yeah.
More bang for your buck, I'm
Hawks to a
sure.
promote on that thing.
That's great. That's awesome, man. No, we're very happy to have you on. I think it's great what you guys are doing. I didn't know about the St. Jude's thing. That's awesome. So your listeners are not only just getting content from you guys, but it's also a charitable thing too. So that's great.
That's last year's. Last year's is charity. This year's is not charity. I just want to clear that up because I don't want people to buy the current one and be like, I'm doing something good. No, you're helping our bank account not go negative if you buy this year's. If you buy last year's, you could feel good about yourself. If you buy the bundle, you could feel good.
There you
But
go.
if you buy only this year's, you could feel good you're helping us, but you're not helping St. Jude.
All right. Fair enough. No, that's good. Okay, so you said Christmas horror is your favorite subgenre of horror. What is your favorite Christmas horror movie?
Someone just asked me this the other day, and it's a chalk pick, but I gotta go with Gremlins just because it's
Okay.
been in my life so long. And, when you think Christmas horror, it's kind of almost like a kid's first horror movie. But I just love that movie so much. I mean, if I was gonna pick what I think is probably the best, it's probably Christmas Evil.
Okay.
But I love Gremlins so much. So I gotta go Gremlins, even though it's a chalk pick.
That's a good pick.
It is, yeah.
Nice.
What about you guys?
For me, I don't know, maybe like Krampus or Santa Slay with Goldberg. Yeah.
I gotta go Krampus too. I just like I agree with your Gremlins pick. I think that it's an incredible movie, but I don't know, with Krampus, just the absolute insanity of it. I love it. I can watch it every year and not get sick of it. And I think it's hilarious and it's got a good amount of gore. It's got a lot of creativity with the different characters and stuff. So I think it's good.
I absolutely love Krampus. If it had been with me as long as Gremlins, it probably would be
Yeah.
higher. But I have the Krampus on a mantle or whatever it's called, and every year my wife's not into horror, but every year I put him on top of the tree.
That's great.
So yeah, my wife hates it. She's like, "You ruined Christmas." I go, "He's up there. He's not bothering anybody. Leave Krampus alone."
He's part of Christmas. All right. We can kick this
So
off.
no one's
No.
favorite was Black Christmas 2006? No,
No,
definitely not.
no, no, no. The OG Black Christmas, I mean, it's up there, but plus it's a Canadian gem, right? So we kind of have a
Well, that's what I when I found out you were Canadian before when we were talking, I was like, oh, Black Christmas is like the Canadian Christmas horror movie. You
Yeah.
know, it's so associated with Canada. Bob Clark and where it's shot.
Yeah, it's too bad this hot mess was made. Anyways, we'll talk about that later. Normally we would do like a news and booze segment right now, talk about what we're drinking. I don't know if you guys are drinking anything right now. I'm sticking to water. I'm still kind of getting over a little bit of a gastro bug. So what do you
Diet
got there?
Coke.
Diet Coke. All right.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I was drinking Stella.
Nice. All right, cool. Have you guys watched anything recently that you kind of want to talk about? Is there anything new on your radar that's been good or?
I mean, it wasn't good, but I just watched Dear Santa
Oh, the Jack
back
Black
when.
one? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you
Is
guys
it
see that?
no, is it as bad as everyone's saying it is?
I mean, I went into it like, okay, this is going to be a shitty kids movie. So, how much I can't beat it up too much. Like, it's not for me. It's a movie for 12-year-olds. So it's like, I could see a 12-year-old like really kind of enjoying it. I was like, all right. And like, I think I laughed out loud once or twice, which was more than I was expecting. So, it's like I watched it once. I'll never watch it again. It left my head. There's worse shit, So I don't recommend it, but
It
whatever.
is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched anything. We just recorded, like, I think on Sunday or Monday or whatever. But I've just been sitting here patiently waiting for Christmas to come because it's like watching Nosferatu because all the screenings have happened and everyone's going wild over it. So I just, boosted up there even more for me.
Are you going on Christmas Day?
No, I'll probably, I don't know, maybe later in the week, maybe.
Boxing Day? Maybe, yeah.
I'm excited for it. I think it looks amazing.
I love Robert Eggers. I cannot wait to see Nosferatu. Like, he's like for the modern crop of directors like him, Ari Aster, like guys like that. He's like number one for of this generation for me. I absolutely love his work.
Yeah, I think he's incredible.
Yeah, with just his work, he's put out like three movies, and now this one's coming out, and everyone's going wild over it. So, yeah, he's definitely up there for sure.
Yeah, for me, the only thing I watched, like I watched Smile 2 the other night, or the other day, I guess I should say.
Nice. What'd you think?
I liked it. It took a weird turn at the end, and I thought it was way too long. Like they could have trimmed off probably like 20 minutes of it, and it would have been a little bit better in my mind, but it was good.
It's not a spoiler, but look, I'm from Staten Island. So when they go to Staten Island, I felt like that whole thing was a complete waste almost. And it's like, why did you spend all that time on Staten Island if you were going to do what you ended up doing anyway? You could have just done what you wanted to do and not affected anything. And it's like you wasted like 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the whole time, I kind of knew that that would be the big ending almost. Like even going in blind, it's like, okay, it's this person. You're clearly setting up for that to happen. And, like if there's a Smile 3, that world is so open now. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of story left that they can go with it.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I guess we can hop into this movie discussion if you guys are ready to go. All
Yep, let's do it.
right. All right, like we said in the intro this week, we were talking about Black Christmas from 2006. Starting off with the synopsis. On Christmas Eve, an escaped maniac returns to his childhood home, which is now a sorority house, and begins to murder the sorority sisters one by one. I like that this synopsis doesn't give away the big reveal that there's actually two killers in this movie. This was directed by Glenn Morgan. He also directed Willard with Crispin Glover, and I fucking love that movie. I've wanted to do it on
Hell
this
yeah.
podcast for the longest time, and I just keep forgetting to pick it, but I think it's a wicked movie.
I saw that Willard remake maybe like 50 times when I was younger because we had a hot box and that was one of the pay-per-view movies. So like every time it would come on, me and my sister would just watch it. I've seen that Willard movie with Crispin Glover an insane amount of times, more times than anyone ever should.
I think it's a great movie, though, Vic. I love Crispin Glover. I think he's awesome.
That he's perfect in that role.
But Glenn Morgan, he also did three episodes of The X-Files, and he was a writer and producer of The River, which is a TV show that got canceled way too fast. I don't
Oh,
even think they
yeah.
finished the first season of that. No, they did finish it actually, because I bought the first season on DVD, and then they canceled it like 2 weeks later. I was so pissed. He's also a writer on Final Destination and Final Destination 3, Jet Li's The One, and the original 21 Jump Street TV show.
Did he direct Final Destination 3?
He didn't direct it, no. He was a writer and a
Okay.
producer on it.
Because
But
obviously Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in this and that.
And he called her like immediately after filming wrapped of Final Destination 3, and he wanted her for this movie. He called her in the airport at like 4 a.m. or something like that, which is crazy. But yeah, he was good friends with Bob Clark actually, and he has actually gone on record saying that he has disowned this movie because the Weinstein brothers just completely demolished his entire plan of it, and they did what they do best and just kind of shit all over the production of it. And like this was going to be a very different movie. He wanted it to be like a good remake of the original and to do it justice, but they kind of ruined his plans of that, and he has never forgiven them for it.
Yeah, supposedly the original ending that they shot was much quieter, and it kind of paid homage to the original. Like, she gets a phone call in the hospital, and you hear like Billy talking, and you know he got away, and it's like ambiguous kind of. And instead we got a man through a Christmas tree.
Strongest Christmas tree ever made.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then like Bob Clark was gonna, he was gonna redo, he was gonna do his own remake. And he was starting to get everything worked out, but then he sadly passed away before he was able to do anything about it. But yeah, unfortunately, this is the mess that we got. I've never seen the 2019 one though. I don't know if it's any better than this or if it's worse or.
Well, what I'll tell you is you just watched the second best version of A Black
Oh,
Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
I'll take this a million times over 2019. 2019 is fucking awful.
Okay, good to know.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might end up
Like
watching it this year.
this is like really schlocky, but it's kind of fun at times in a way, in like that cheesy way. 2019 is just dour and like not fun and bad. So it's like the worst of all worlds. And look, this movie came out 2006. 2006, I'm like 19. So all these actresses, like they're like at the right age with me at 19. So it's like these are all like it's like a perfect cast. It's like one of the hottest casts ever
Oh,
assembled,
man.
man. All the chicks in it are ridiculously hot. And like I was like the same age as them. It's like perfect.
This era of, yeah, like, well, Michelle Trachtenberg's in it and Lacey Chabert. I'll talk about them in a second. But like, those two, like, in that time frame for me, oh, man, like the creme of the creme. Like right around Mean Girls and like Road Trip or no Euro Trip.
Euro trip. Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I always liked from Final Destination 3.
It's good. Which will lead us into our cast. So we have Katie Cassidy who plays Kelly, Michelle Trachtenberg who plays Melissa, Mary Elizabeth Winstead who plays Heather, Lacey Chabert plays Dana, and she was actually in our little hometown last winter. No, it wasn't winter. When was the
Oh, it was
filming of
earlier
that?
this year.
Earlier this year, yeah. For Hot Frosty. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but
I know it. I didn't watch it yet, though. I
yeah.
will watch it.
That was
It was
filmed like
filmed in your
20 minutes,
hometown?
filmed 20 minutes away from me, yeah.
Wow. That's
Yeah, and
awesome.
there wasn't even real snow. I don't know why they didn't wait till the winter to do it, but all of the
They have to get it out next winter. They're like, start shooting in the summer and.
All of the snow sculptures that are in it are at a fucking car dealership right now. Just
Oh,
sitting out front, yeah.
really?
Yeah. It's a ridiculous movie, but it's kind of cool to see our town in it.
Oh, and it's your hometown, and you watch it, and you're like, oh, there's that shop. It's the best.
There's a bar that like they turned into a diner, but it's like it's actually a bar that we go to often. So it was kind of cool to see that.
That is cool.
I have a few honorable mentions. Brooke, I don't know if you had any on here.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know one you'll say, but Karen Conville, who played Billy's mother, she actually voiced Maurice in all the new Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That all
That's
you
it.
got? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
I put Kristen Cloak, who plays Lee. She's actually Glenn Morgan's wife, which I thought was really cool. Andrea Martin, who plays Miss Mac, she played Phil in the original.
Oh, wow.
And then Oliver Hudson played Kyle, who was the love interest of Kelly in this one. Who was the one that you thought I was going to say?
I don't know if to pronounce her name, but Yanke Crystal
Oh,
Lowe. She played Lauren. She was in Final Destination, I believe.
right, her and Mary Elizabeth Winstead were in that together. Was there any familiar faces for you, Brian, or was it all just in the main cast?
All the main cast, like I was like, oh, it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Michelle Trachtenberg. It's all the ones that I should know that I was really picking out. And you know, some of the others, I was like, where do I know her from? And I went on IMDb and I was like, yeah, I don't know her from anything. She's just a hot chick.
I think her name was Eve. She was like the ugly duckling sorority girl.
Oh
Oh,
yeah.
she's gone like pretty quick, right?
She wore the glasses.
Yeah.
She had her hair all tied back. She's actually a supermodel.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. This is her only acting credit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I was thinking, like, while I was watching it, because I watched this like way back when it first came out, but one time was enough for me. So I had in my mind that she was going to be the second killer because I couldn't remember how the story went.
Yeah, that's
She
why I was thinking like what it was playing off as well.
just kind of had that vibe to her, right? And I was like, someone's going to die by this fucking long unicorn glass thing that she gave to what's it she gave to Heather?
Heather,
Yeah,
yeah.
Heather. But that is not how it went. All right. We can kick off this movie discussion.
So I know the last time I watched the OG was when we did the episode 5 years ago. You same with you, Mark, or have you watched it
I
since it
think
came out?
no, I've watched it since then. I think I watched it last Christmas, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
I'm pretty sure I watched it around last Christmas too, actually. If not last Christmas, the one before. Because in the
Oh,
past
okay.
couple of Christmases, I watched it again. So it's semi-fresh in my mind, but
Yeah.
not super fresh. You know, I know enough of the beats to, you know, oh, Margot Kidder is like a foul mouth, and you know, there's a lot of abortion talk.
Yeah. So yeah, this movie starts off right away. We see a kill right in the first 15 seconds of the movie. You know, one of the sisters is just wrapping presents, and she ends up getting a bag put over her head and just stabbed right in the eyeball. And the eye is a thing that is very common
Oh
for the rest
man.
of the movie, kind of way overkill for me. Like, I'm not like a big like eyeball gore person, but still, like, I felt like near the last half of the movie is just like, how many eyeballs can we have in this movie?
Like Oprah, you get an eye gouge and you get an eye gouge and you get an eye gouge, just all over the place.
So I had the same thought as I was watching. I was like, man, there's so many eye gouges. Like, why are they like do keep going to that well? But they kind of do pay it off because he turns them into tree ornaments.
No,
So like there is kind
that's
of a
true.
purpose.
Yeah. That's very true, yeah.
Munches down on a couple of them too.
Yeah. So yeah, she the one sister she's killed right off the bat. And then it cuts to an insane asylum, and I love the throwback. It's called Clark Sanitarium, you know, little nod to Bob Clark. But we learn that a guy named Billy Lenz is held up here, and he's kind of addicted to Christmas because, you know, he ended up killing his parents on Christmas back in the day, and this is like kind of like a big holiday for him. I love that like they let him like decorate his like room, even though it's like this crazed killer, but oh, we'll give him candy canes and lights and a rocking chair. It's like, okay, what the fuck?
It's Christmas. You got to be nice.
I love whenever the orderly brings him his food too. I can't remember how he words it, and because Santa Claus is there, and he's like, "Yeah, it's chicken. It reminds him of how they tasted or something like that." I was like, "What
Oh yeah.
the
Yeah.
fuck?"
And there's one guy, another guy like in the cell, he's just like looks like Jesus and just like saying like some stuff. The guy just closes the door on his face.
Because the guy says happy birthday to him. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, so we cut back to the sorority house. We meet Mrs. Mack. She is like kind of the, what are they called? The
Den mother? No, house mother?
House mother, yeah.
Yeah,
House
yeah.
mother.
So she's like the house mother of this house, this sorority. And so they're doing you know, Secret Santa, stuff like that. And there's only a few girls left in the house. A few of them went home. Obviously one of them is dead now, and they don't really know about it. So you kind of meet, I don't know what, there's like five or six girls that are there, and then Mrs. Mack. And cuts back to the insane asylum again, and we see Billy Lund's escape. And I gotta say, this guard is one of the dumbest guards I've ever seen. He looks in there, and Billy is like, eating the candy cane, rocking his chair, and then looks again, and Billy's gone. He's like, oh shit. So goes in there, and he's not there, and sees like the sink topped over, and like there's a hole in the wall, but it's like a whole bunch of pipes like right in front of it. So like there's no way Billy can get through that hole. So it's like, why are you even looking in the hole?
I don't even know, like, I don't even know why he would go in there, because like Billy could have just been on the other side of the room, right? Like when he looks in, because he's looking in through this like little rectangle in the door where they just put the food in.
Yeah.
So he could have been anywhere in there, but I don't know, maybe it's protocol. I've never worked in an insane asylum, so.
It's also, could you turn the lights on before you go in?
But that
You don't
too,
have that
yeah.
option. You have to go in the darkness. It's a rule.
Wouldn't be a horror movie if you didn't.
And then of course, he stabs him in the eyeball with the candy cane. And then he escapes. So now we're back at the sorority house again, and Megan, one of the sorority sisters, she's in her room and she is watching like a video on her laptop, and I couldn't really make out who exactly it was in the video. I believe it was Kelly and Kyle. I know it was Kyle for sure, but was that Kelly in the video, or was it Megan cheating on or Kyle was cheating on Kelly with her?
Yeah, Kyle was cheating on Kelly with Megan.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought.
I think it was before he was with, I got all the names mixed up. It was before he's with the one that he's currently with.
Yeah, because he made mention later on, because Kelly sees the video eventually and she asks him about it, and he's like, oh, like someone got a hold of my tapes, and she's like, tapes? Like how many fucking tapes do you have?
He's like Dennis Reynolds from It's Always Sunny. He just has a collection of his escapades. And then he just like plays it off like it's nothing. He's like, well, I don't care. I'll do what I want. It's like, so she doesn't like Christmas right now. So she's staying in her room, but she ends up hearing a noise up in the attic. So she goes up there, and the snow globe is going on. She doesn't see the other sorority sister that's in the rocking chair with the bag over her head. Now I forget, was in the OG the person in the chair, was that Mrs. Mack from the original one?
No, it was one of the
It was
sorority.
one of the girls. Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was though. It was the first girl that he killed in the first room.
Okay, it was as well. Okay, because I couldn't remember.
Yeah, because she's kind of like the iconic image, right? Of the bagged head just looking out the top window.
So then, of course, we see not Billy. We see some person with long hair just come up behind her, put the bag over, and then just fucking like rip her eyeball out of her head.
Another one.
And so I totally forgot that there was a second killer, and it confused the hell out of me at first, because I was like, well, this can't be Billy, because this person has long ass hair. And I was like, trying to figure, like, who the fuck could this be? Why are they killing
So
them?
I forgot it was a second killer, but I thought, oh, are they doing a time jump thing where they're cutting back to showing how Billy got away before he got back? I completely forgot about the second killer thing.
Yeah, that's what I was confused as well. Like, is there like time jumps happening? Yeah, I totally get shit too. Yeah.
And like, where did this one come from? 'Cause like, she wasn't, spoiler alert, it's a female. She wasn't in the attic for the past like 20 years or however long Billy's been locked up.
Exactly. That it doesn't make sense. How did Billy know to get out right now to go to where his sister daughter is, like at this moment? And has she been there the whole time, living in the attic like Parasite, like living in the walls and shit? It's really not explained well at all.
No. And like the guard, security guard at the jail does tell the Santa Claus that, like, oh, Billy tries to escape every single Christmas, but still, like, with the sister, there's no explanation of why she's there, because it's not even like she has any connection to Billy or knows who he is, right? Like, so yeah, I just kind of.
As far as we know, the last time she saw Billy, he like stabbed her in the eye.
Yeah, so
Right? If
why
I'm
is she
correct.
now helping him? Right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's very weird. It really doesn't make any sense at all.
It kind of would have been a better ending if they would have ended up fighting each other at the end.
Yeah.
That would have been fun. Yeah.
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 Like, I don't know. Obviously, Billy's a fucking cold-hearted killer, but he only killed his family because he hated them, right? Like, I feel like if his mother would have just like fucked off, he maybe would have been okay. But
Yeah, if his
she,
mother didn't rape him, you know, like,
yeah, that.
Jesus
And like,
Christ.
she was
Yeah.
just a.
Honestly, that's one of the most disturbing things
It's so
I've
fucked
seen
up,
in a
man.
movie in quite some time. Like, I have to give this movie points just for that, because it's like, I've seen some fucked up shit in my day in movies, but it's rare to see a mother come and rape her son and like make him impregnate her. It was so fucked up. It still caught me off guard.
Yeah, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, what the fuck? Okay.
I thought she was gonna go upstairs to like beat the shit out of him or something because he was playing Christmas music
Yeah.
while her and her current husband were trying to have sex.
Yeah.
And then she dropped her robe and I was like, oh, we're going here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so up to this point, whenever it does the flashback of Billy and the backstory, this is kind of where the whole movie kind of lost me, because I felt like it's just so much stuff they're just kind of throwing in. And like, so it's 1970, I think, when Billy is born, and he's born in this condition where he has yellow skin, like the guy from fucking Sin City. That's all I can think about. Like, okay. And the mom absolutely hates Billy because he wasn't the precious child that she wanted. But his dad is like super lovable and helps his son while the mother's just fucking sitting there drinking and fucking talking shit to him. And yeah, just batshit crazy. So then it is, I think, 1982, and she ends up killing his dad with a guy that she's now with. And they're burying him under the house, and Billy is like a fucking monkey man, is like crawling through the walls and shit. Yeah, ends up back in the attic, and that's where she kind of locks him up there for the of his life, basically. Very barbarian-esque, honestly.
Cobweb.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to mute my mic for a second. My
Oh.
laptop was unplugged, but I have it plugged into a power bar with my printer. So whenever I plugged it in, my printer started doing its like reboot bullshit.
Oh, nice.
Anyways, but yeah, it is kind of the yeah, barbarian cobweb kind of thing. It's yeah, it's fucked up.
What do you guys think of
Bad
like the
Ronald.
whole what do you guys think of this whole Billy backstory and his family? Like, does it make you feel like bad for Billy in a sense, or like what are you guys' thoughts?
It's so 2006 edgy, which like I kind of appreciate, because like, I don't know, movies, I feel like they shy away from a lot of fucked up things now. And I don't know, I couldn't imagine seeing a wide release movie in 2024 where they're like, and then this mother comes and she rapes her son, and they have a rape baby. Bah, it's fucked up. Like, I don't know. It just feels like Linkin Park is like screaming in my face, edgelord shit. So
Yeah.
I love it. It's so like of how I grew up in media. So it hits a sweet spot for me, and I know it's fucked up, but I don't know. I kind of appreciate it.
No, I get that. Like, yeah, and I don't know, because we never really got this type of backstory with the original. We know like what Billy did and whatnot, but it never really showed the abuse that he had to go through with his, well, not with his dad, but with his mom and his stepdad. So I don't know. Yeah, it kind of makes you feel bad for him for sure. And like kind of gives you an understanding of why he killed them. Because, I mean, kind of rightfully so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no one's against him killing his family, right? Except
Yeah.
maybe his rape daughter. Like, you didn't have to kill her. It's not her
Yeah,
fault, but
that's not fair,
yeah,
but.
you know.
And like the whole, like the mother thing, like we see they're just having sex like on the stairs, and then he falls asleep, and she's like, every time. And the reason that she went up to Billy and did this to him is because her current husband can't have sex because he always falls asleep.
Yeah.
And it's like 1982, so that means he's like a
12.
minor when she does this, which is
Yeah.
even more fucked up.
That's true. Actually, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, he's like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
oh man.
And in this one, we do see Billy. He does call the house every now and then, but I felt like the original did the phone calls so much better than this movie. Like,
So
there's
much
only a
better.
couple in this movie, and like, I just feel like they really just faltered with like the phone calls and kind of like that kind of atmosphere that the original had.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, this movie, its biggest problem is that it's called Black Christmas and it's a remake of Black Christmas 1974, an all-time classic. If this was called like Sorority Christmas Massacres, whatever, everyone would just watch it and be like, all right, yeah, whatever, you know, but it's being held to a certain standard and it's never going to live up to that standard. So like the calls are definitely not as good because in 1974, that's still new and fresh. In 2006, we have Caller ID, Scream. There's been three Scream movies. You know, it's kind of played out a bit at that point. In 1974, raunchy phone calls are creepy and way more unnerving.
And even just the voice on the other end of the line, right? In the original, you can't even understand what he's saying. Like, you
No.
have subtitles on, and you're like, oh, okay, that's what he says. But he's just like talking really fast, really quiet, really like growly.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, he's just like, she's my family now. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So Kyle does end up showing up at the house, but then it cuts back to another flash forward, 1991. Billy now gets a telescope for Christmas, and it's like, okay, his mother hates him so much. Like, why is she buying him Christmas gifts? Like, you know.
Yeah.
But this is when he goes downstairs and he ends up killing the sister. Or no, he's a like, kill sister.
Tries
He
to
tries to.
with an eye gouge.
Yeah, eye gouge. And I was kind of wondering, like, because the mother's like in the kitchen and like the phone rings. She's like, oh, she said like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and then like no one answers, and she's like, Merry fucking Christmas. But how did Billy call his own house?
You could do that back in the day.
Could you? With like the like other phone in the house?
Yeah, I think there's a number you could dial
Oh,
and it would
okay.
call through it. I feel like
Gotcha.
I remember like prank calling my own house.
Okay, maybe. But yeah, he ends up taking the mother's eye, killing her. And then, well, he beats her with the rolling pin, and then he grabs the fucking cookie
Jesus.
cutters and pulls her shirt down. I was like, okay, this movie is not great, but some of the kills that aren't eye gouges, like, are fucking great.
The movie's fucked up and it deserves points for that because it's
It
like,
does.
you know, we watch a guy go to his mother after he's raped by her and carve her skin into cookies at a flash. It's fucking weird, man. It's like,
Yeah.
look, it's not good, but like, it deserves some credit for just being fucking bizarre and weird. Like, it,
Yeah.
I give it points for that.
And I think, like, because we're all around the same age, I think our generation can appreciate that because we grew up through the torture porn era of horror. So, like, we see
Yeah.
that, we're like, yeah, okay, it kind of fits in with that time period. But, like, a younger kid these days, kind of going back and watching this movie from 2006, they're going to be just absolutely appalled by it, I think. But I don't know. We kind of came from a fucked up era, so we're just kind of used to it at this point.
It's like we would see this and then Hostel like a week
Yeah.
later, you
Yeah,
know, or Hostel
exactly.
2, where there's that scene where there's that actress that's in a million things. I always forget her name, but she's like chained up naked and they're
Yeah.
like torturing her. It's like God, that would never could be in a movie today in
No.
2024. No fucking way.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only person that's kind of went that way is Damien Leone with fucking Terrifier.
Oh yeah, he and you know, he had to do that independently.
Claire's sister, who I believe Claire was the first girl that was killed in the movie, her older sister ends up showing up here looking for her. And I feel like there were like we already saw Agnes, but I feel like they were trying to make other people seem like the killer as well. Like, because Claire's sister is kind of like very ominous and like, I don't know. Did you guys have that same kind of vibe?
Yeah, she kind of came out of nowhere and she kind of had this sort of attitude to her. But I don't know, she had dark hair and we've seen Agnes's hair and it's blonde, so I didn't really have thoughts of her being part of it.
But then,
But
like, she also is the tree, and she's like, oh, there's a present here from Billy. And, like, all the other girls were like, where the fuck did that come from? That wasn't there before. Like, you must have put it there.
That was another fucked up thing we haven't talked about. Every year they do a Secret Santa in this sorority house, and every year one person draws Billy's name. And I think it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character, and she's just like, "Do you guys not find that a little fucked up that we're buying a present for a serial killer?"
It's like, yeah, this is 2006. We weren't thinking about taste or anything like that. It's like I totally could buy it in 2006 that they were doing it. But sorry. I think this is a kind of a problem with the casting of Cloak. Is that her name, the actress?
Yeah. Kristen
I
Cloak.
feel like Kristen Cloak. I feel like it should have been like Olivia Hussey or something like that. Like it should have been an original Black Christmas 1974 member because I feel like the movie wants to have some pathos about who this is entering the movie, but it's like, I don't know, she's just some random fucking lady to me. It's like, I think if it was like one of the original actresses, I feel like you're like, oh, you know, it like piques your interest more. I don't know.
Yeah, because even like Mrs. Mack kind of like shoots her down because like they're like, oh, who are you? And she's like, oh, I'm Claire's half sister. I'm 12 years older. I was actually at this sorority house 12 years ago. And Mrs. Mack was like, well, that was my first year as a house mom. I don't remember you. And you know, it's very like they keep putting these like jives at you where it's like, who is this girl? So we find out that Eve was living in Billy's room. She's kind of the weirdo that gave Heather the glass statue thing. And they find in the closet, they find like his original toy that he first got with the same newspaper that she wrapped the unicorn in. So they're like, oh, maybe she's the one who put the Billy present or whatever like that. Yeah, I think then they find her dead in the car. Her just fucking head falls out of the car. Thought that was great. So obviously the power's out of the house. And so Dana, you know, she just
Lacey
knows.
Chabert.
Yeah, she just knows how electricity works because she's at like the breaker box and they're trying to figure it out. And she's like, oh yeah, the breaker main breaker is under the house. And I forget, I think it was the sister, I think that was with her, but it was like, oh, why don't you just go under there and switch it? And you know, she's saying, like, I'm not gonna go under the house. And it's like, well, we need power. It's like, okay, I know where this is going.
Yeah, they basically send her to her death. It's like, you know, there's a killer in crawl spaces. Go into that crawl space, Lacey. She's like, oh, okay.
And she lasts like all of like 2 minutes. She almost, I think she stabs him, doesn't she?
It looked like it was Agnes. It looked like she got her though in the arm or
That's what it
something,
looked like,
right?
yeah. But then she just grabbed the fucking claw thing, just back of the head. Yeah, so while that is happening, Lauren is hammered. She's been drinking and she's like in the bathroom. Melissa's helping her. And this was another part of the movie where I was like, what is happening? Like, what is up with this bathroom? Like, one of the tiles like comes up and like there's a hole in it. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then like she's in the shower and you see a fucking Billy move another tile with a hole in it. I was like, how many fucking holes were in this fucking floor?
The guy who designed the high school in Porky's designed that bathroom, okay? Which was also
Yes,
Bob Clark.
that's true, actually. That's great.
There's another like peeping hole part that kind of like made me so mad. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I think before they go upstairs, there's like they're sitting on the stairs and there's like a poster with like eyeballs on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought like, oh, they're gonna like Billy's gonna be in like the eyeballs on the poster, but no, he pops it like the thumbtack, and then zooms up in the hole of the thumbtack, and you see the eyeball. It's like, okay, the thumbtack hole is like so fucking
Nothing.
tiny, like you're not able to see through that.
That thumbtack hole comes into play later on too when the cell phone's ringing and you can just see like a
Oh
little tiny
yeah.
pinhole of light from the cell phone. It's just like terrible.
So they end up calling the cops. The cops can't make it out there because there's a storm and there's a whole bunch of traffic and accidents and stuff like that.
Now, I gotta ask you guys a question. You're in Canada, it snows way heavier up there. Have you ever heard of the cops just saying, it's snowing a lot, I guess you're fucked?
No.
I've never heard that either. Like the snow rule, where they're like, above a certain amount of inches, you're on your own. Which they seem to do in this town. They're like, yeah, it's snowing heavy, I guess you're fucked. I don't know what to tell you.
Gotta fight the serial killer by
Yeah.
yourself.
Well, with the way our healthcare is up here, it doesn't matter if there's snow or rain. It could be fucking sunny. It'll still take them 45 minutes to get to wherever they need to.
That's fair point too.
So yeah, the cops can't come. Some of the girls want to stay, some of them want to leave. The ones that want to leave, I believe, is Mrs. Mack and Heather, and the rest want to stay. And I'm on the side of, staying in this house, lock the doors. I think Kelly says, like, grab the fire poker to stay together in this house. But no, Mrs. Mack and Heather wanted to go out in the fucking storm to try and get the cops, which the cops said they can't make it there. So, like, even if you get to them,
What are you
still
gonna
gonna
do?
take you 2 hours to get back to the house. Like,
Yeah. What's Mrs. Mack gonna do? Drive the car for them?
yeah.
Just get in the back seat, I'll drive.
Yeah. So they get up to the car, they get started, and I feel like the Heather kill was so like underwhelming and like kind of like, I don't know, I thought they did Winstead dirty, man. Like, you didn't even see her get killed, just some blood in the inside of the car. Like, I was disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
It was set up with a really funny moment though, where like she the old lady, I forget her name, but she hands her the brush and she's like, go use this. And Mary Elizabeth Wine says, like, I don't know what this is. And she looks at her like, are you fucking kidding me? And she's like, oh my God, you fucking young people. And she goes out and starts brushing the car. And then you just see the blood splatter, like her head was a grape inside of the car.
Yeah. The only way she was going to sign on, because they originally wanted her to play Kelly, who was the final girl, and she refused to sign on for the movie if she was going to be the final girl because she just finished Final Destination 3. And she's like, I don't want to be fucking typecast as a final girl. So you got to kill me off. So I feel like maybe that's why her death was kind of mediocre because they were just like, okay, we'll just throw in a death here then just to make you happy and get you in this movie.
So I think it was Agnes in the car, correct?
I don't know, 'cause is Billy even in the house yet?
Yeah, that might be Billy.
Yeah, because I thought, because I know whenever she's like scraping the snow, you see like I think an eyeball in like the window, and she's like, what the fuck is that? And then like the kill happens.
Actually, I guess Billy would be in the house 'cause he put the hole in the tile in the
Oh
bathroom. So I
yeah.
guess he
Oh,
would be
you're
in the
right.
house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we get another couple really cool fucking kills in this movie. Mrs. Mack, she's like under the eave, and then just like an icicle falls from the top and just
Yeah, it's
smashes her
cool.
head. I thought that was sick. And
Does
then
that
we
count as a kill or is it just an accident? Right?
Yeah.
It's like she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's true.
It was the house that killed her.
Yeah. My mom
Like, if
used to
I'm
always
Bill,
warn
you're
me.
Agnes's lawyer after this and we're in court, I'm like, no, they did not kill Mrs. Mack. That was an act of God.
And then meanwhile, Melissa, she is up in one of the rooms, and I think it's Billy in the house now, right? That kills her. So I know what the final kill is, but I forget what the lead up was to that. Like, I think she was fighting with Billy a bit, and then she ends up at the windowsill, and Billy just grabs, I think it might have been Agnes, one of them anyway, but grabs like the hockey skates and just like fuck it, they're tied
Rips
together,
them.
just like throws them and just like, I don't know how it did it, but like it like cut off her face, which was kind of weird. Like, I don't know how that happens, but still a sick kill nonetheless.
Yeah, she's trying to escape out of the window, and the window won't unlock. And instead of just smashing it out, she continues fighting with it and fighting with it and fighting with it. But she throws something at them, at Agnes too, doesn't she?
I thought there was a little fight that they had before because she almost got away. But I forget what
Yeah, I can't
happened.
remember.
And then Lauren is like sleeping in the room, and Kelly goes in there with the older sister. And they pull the blankets over, and she's missing her eyeballs.
Go
So
figure.
she's dead. Yeah. And then Kyle was in here in the house as well, I think, right? How does he end up dying?
The bag over the head,
Oh,
and then he gets
right.
stabbed with the unicorn statue.
So we're up in the attic, and this is where we see Agnes decorating the tree with all the eyeballs, and we see I think it's Eve's head is like the star on top of the tree. Fucking sick.
That's what I mean. This movie like has some cool shit in it.
It does.
At least it's disturbing and memorable at times. Like it's not good, but like it deserves points just for being so different and like having shit that I was like, I'll fucking, you know, I'll remember the, like a lot of this shit now on this rewatch.
I feel like, you know, like the OG Black Christmas is like, you know, maybe like a yearly watch or every couple years, and this movie you can watch like, you know, every like maybe 4 or 5 years, and then 2019 maybe just watch once in your life. And yeah. So who is, so Kelly's still alive, the
Lee's
sister
still
is,
alive.
Lee is still alive,
And that's it.
and that's it. I believe it's Kelly is fighting with Agnes, and she ends up in the wall of the house. And I thought this scene was really cool too, because she's like climbing in the wall, and Agnes is coming from
The
the
bottom.
bottom, I think, and then Billy's coming from the top, and she's like stuck between them. Meanwhile, like Lee is like in the middle of the house. She ends up like fucking punching a hole in the wall, and then somehow a fire starts in the attic, and all the lights are like entangled on Kelly, I think, and she ends up pulling like the tree dam on fire, and like I love like the fucking tree coming down through the wall, and it's like on fire. That was really cool.
Yeah, they had candles lit up there. So the candle, like every time something like would bang on the floor or something like that, a candle would fall over and it was catching all the wrapping paper on fire.
So the tree falls down, catches Billy on fire. Lee pulls Kelly through the hole, but she gets kind of burnt as well. But you believe that Agnes and Billy are dead because you see all the cops come and all the body bags, and then you end up at the morgue with this mortician who likes to drink on the job. I mean, it is Christmas,
I
so, you know,
would too,
I
man.
don't blame him, you know.
And then Billy pulls, is that a Jason 4 when he wakes up from the morgue? Yeah, that's part 4, right? Yeah. Oh man. So he ends up killing this guy, this mortician, and then Billy gets into like the drop ceiling, and it's like, I don't think that would hold you at all.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, I know he's not a very big guy, but you know.
He's got to be at least like 150 pounds, I would say.
Yeah,
I don't think those drop ceilings are holding him.
Maybe that yellow skin gives them superpowers or something.
Maybe.
It was the Nakatomi Plaza designers, you know, they made
Yeah.
sure you're able to crawl around in all the spaces.
Exactly.
So Lee is in the room with Kelly. They're kind of, waiting to kind of leave and stuff like that. But then, hey, Agnes is still alive as well. She ends up killing Lee. I forget how Lee.
She leaves the room and I forget why. Well, no, they have to run tests on Kelly and Lee is behind. And then Agnes shows up and does she strangle her?
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
Trying to remember. It wasn't su anything super cool.
No. And I love that whenever Kelly's like running away and like there's like no hospital workers, then she gets to the front or she's trying to call on the emergency button and like all the fucking Christmas carolers are there and no one's paying attention to her. And like she ends up like running from Billy out of the room and like there's like one male nurse that like gets like tip his stuff tipped over and then Billy's just chasing Kelly and like nobody is trying to help Kelly at all. She has to do it all by herself. But she ends up going in the room and she grabs like the defibrillator and she ends up shocking Agnes to Billy.
Yeah, with the I thought that was a cool kill too.
I
Like
enjoyed that.
she's just
Yeah.
waiting for the paddles to charge up, and then finally they do and just fries her in the face.
Yeah, because Agnes is like fucking big.
She's a big girl.
Yeah. Was
She's
that a dude
inbred.
playing her?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
Okay, that's what I thought.
yeah, that's what I thought as well. Yeah.
But this is the ending for the UK version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the US version is the only one that continues on from there because of the
So wait,
fucking
so the UK
Weinsteins.
movie ends, there's no phone call or anything. It just ends with her killing Agnes.
Yeah.
Does Billy call or anything?
I don't think so. From what I've seen, like it just ends right there.
See, I don't like that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
wouldn't like that either. It's like, okay, so Billy's still alive and got away, I guess.
At least, like, you need him to call, you know,
Yeah.
like the original.
Yeah.
So yeah, Billy is still chasing after Kelly. They kind of get in a fight near like the stairwell, and then he ends up falling over the railing and impaling on top of the Christmas tree, and yeah, goes out with a
That's
bang.
it. It ends very abruptly. It's like he falls on the tree and then it like cuts right to credits. And it's like, really? We don't even get like a scene wrap up where she's like, ooh, you know, it's not, it's
Yeah,
over. That's it.
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and like this movie's only 90 minutes, so like I feel like they may have could have added like,
5 minutes.
maybe a bit more to it, you know? But yeah, that's Black Christmas from 2006. Anything else want to mention before I wrap this up?
I don't think so.
Alrighty, well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. So we will move on into our reviews. Brian, as our guest, do you want to break down how you rated this movie?
Yeah, what do you go by with score?
We'll do our story first out of 10, and then we'll do quality out of 10. So you can give us
Okay.
both.
Story out of 10, I'm gonna go with a 6. It's a simple story, you know, girls in a house, killer comes to kill them. We've seen it a lot. What I do like is the fucked up backstory. I appreciate that. That's something I'll carry with me. The girls, I kind of like all their characterization. They're all a little quirky, they're memorable, they're not super nice. They're all kind of bitches, actually. They are something to look at, which I always enjoy. Story's fine. I can't really complain about it too much. The execution is where things kind of get more muddied and messy. But, you know, that kind of ties into my other score. As far as quality of the movie, I'm going to go with a 5. There's enough fucked up things and fucked up imagery for me to bump it up a bit, and it's never boring, which is the worst thing a movie could be. Is it good? No. Is it the most awful thing ever created? No. But there's some fucked up shit. I have fun watching it. Every couple of years, I could check it out again. It's a 5.
Nice. What are you, Brooke?
So for me, my story, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 10. I just feel like just the whole Billy and Agnes scene and like the backstory, like there were some parts of it that I liked, but a lot of it was just way over the top and just kind of just holes everywhere. I also feel like you didn't get any backstory or kind of character development with any of the girls, really, except for maybe Kelly. That's pretty much it. Like, you don't really get any more backstory. You don't feel for any of the characters. Like, whenever Melissa and Heather died, like, the only reason I cared was because I liked the actresses. The characters I didn't give two shits about because, like, you didn't really know much about them or care about them. They just sat around drinking and complaining to each other the whole time. So yeah, story I'll give a 3 out of 10. And for quality, I'll go 5 out of 10 as well. I feel like the writing is not that great, but I do feel like the acting was not terrible, but not like amazing. I feel like it was just okay for a horror Christmas movie. I felt like the kills and like the practical effects were done really well. I liked the setting of the movies. Both houses, like Billy's, well, they're the same house, but like Billy's timeline of his house has felt like dirty and gross. And then, yeah, I'll go 3 out of 10 and a 5 out of 10.
All right. My story, I gave it a 4. I said it's basically the same story as the original, with this just ridiculously added element of incestual childbearing that was just so fucking far out in left field, man. I completely forgot about all that. And like the whole cannibalism thing, I don't know. I feel like
Yeah.
they like you said before, Brian, like they 2006'd it, right? Like they just did
Yeah.
whatever they could for shock value. And for some of it really worked. And then some other parts, I was just like, I don't know if that really needs to be in this or not. But I don't know. Like you said, though, it was fun. I did have fun watching it. But from a story standpoint, it's just like, meh. I feel bad for Glenn Morgan because he really did want to do this movie justice, and the Weinstein brothers really fucked him over on this. Like they were filming scenes whenever he wasn't on set, and like they're going behind his back and doing shit and adding shit to it that he didn't know that they're adding to it. And it was just, I don't know, it was just really shitty production. So I felt bad for him. Because he wanted to do good by Bob Clark and create a movie that he could have been proud of, and he ended up having to release this thing. My quality, I gave it a 6. Basically everything that you guys said, I could have done without all the eye gouging. Like some of the kills were super creative, but on the other hand, they were also like repetitive, a lot of them, because just like people getting their eyes gouged left, right, and center. The thing that bumped it up for me, though, from a 5 to a 6, all the girls did their own stunts.
Oh, really? That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool of them, because like none of these girls are like big action stars or anything like that. Like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, she's done some pretty crazy shit now, but I don't know. I thought it was cool, right? Like all these sorority sister type chicks are doing their own stunts in this movie. I just like good
Hell
on
yeah.
them. Good on them. Lacey Chabert even like she injured her leg during one of the scenes.
Oh, really?
She fell somewhere, but she had to fly back to LA to get checked out, and it ended up being somebody's stepdad was the doctor that checked her out, like someone from this movie. It was just a weird series of
Wow.
events that kind of came into play. But yeah, 4 out of 10 and a 6 out of 10 for me. I've definitely seen worse movies, but definitely seen a lot better too. Right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. Brian, did you check out the critic score before recording? Have you seen what the
I
critic
did
score
not.
is? All right, perfect. So based off this critic's consensus that I'm going to give you right now, I want you to try and guess what the critic score was.
Okay.
All right. So, a gratuitous remake of the 1974 slasher, Black Christmas pumps out the gore and blood with zero creativity, humor, or visual flair. So, Rotten Tomatoes really kind of shit on this one.
I mean, So I know like no one likes this movie. And based on that, I'm gonna say 25.
Oh, you're too generous.
Really?
Rotten Tomatoes has this at a 13%.
I was gonna say 20, and then I bumped it to 25. Wow.
Yeah, 13% on the critic score. That's on 70 or 64 reviews and an average score of a 3.4 out of 10. Brooke, do you want to take a stab at the audience score?
I know it's probably not, I'm gonna copy Brian for the audience. I'm gonna say it's a bit higher than 13. I'll say 25.
You're too low.
35.
Oh, you're close. You're
Oh,
close.
okay. What is it?
38%. That's on 100,000 ratings and an average score of 2.8 out of 5, or a 5.6 out of 10. So the audience likes it a little bit more, but
Yeah.
not a whole lot. This is definitely not a critics movie, though, whatsoever.
No.
No,
Oh no. You know critics will never love a movie like this.
no.
No,
All
no.
right, Brooke, how does Letterboxd look for us?
So Letterboxd has it at a 2.6 out of 5. A few of our friends, Jess from HMC gave it a 1 star. Anthony gave it a 3 out of 5. Who else we got here? Slosh and
I gave it
Kopke
a
gave it a
2.5.
2.5, okay. We'll get a Letterboxd after this so I can follow you.
Yeah.
Slosh and Captain gave it a 3.5, and Cinemonster a 3 out of 5. And then I gave it a 2, and I think, what'd you give it, Mark?
I give it a 2 as well.
2 as well, okay. Nice.
All right, you guys ready for the scare section?
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right, Brian, out of 10, how did you rate the scares in this movie? That would include like gore and like actual jump scares and shit like that.
Okay. I don't find it a particularly scary movie. I think it's more disturbing than anything else, you know. There is some decent like gore moments. I'm gonna go with a 4.
Right. What was your scariest scene in the movie?
Does the incestual rape count?
Okay. Yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
That counts.
Yeah, definitely that.
It's a
That's
good
fair.
pick.
Yeah. And if you were trapped in the sorority house, do you think you could survive?
I mean, Kyle lived, right? So,
No, he died, man.
oh, he died. Fuck. I'm not scared. I think I could take Billy and Agnes.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of them.
There you go. Nice. All right. What about you, Brooke?
I'm with Brian on the scare rating. I'll give it a 4 to 10. Like, it wasn't scary or any jump scares, but just some of the gore was definitely fucking out there. Some of the kills. It's for scariest scene for me. I was gonna pick the same as Brian, honestly, but I'll go with Billy carving the angel cookies into his mother's back and eating
Nice.
them. I thought, and then like after when the cops come in, he just like has that insane close up of him just fucking
Oh yeah, that was so gross, man.
on the
So
fucking
gross.
skin like beef jerky. And would I survive? I think I could take Billy. But I feel like Agnes has that fucking strength that like the mom in Barbarian has, like, I feel like I could take Billy, but Agnes I think would have me.
Agnes looked like a linebacker,
Incest
man.
strength.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that inbred strength.
Legit.
I'm the same as you guys. I gave it a 4 out of 10 also. There's lots of gore, tons of eye shit. So like if you're not a fan of that, Brooke, this probably isn't a great movie for you. My scary scene, I said the eating of the eyeballs, because there's one scene where it's kind of a close-up and
Oh,
you
yeah.
just like see the eyeball pop in his mouth, and it's just
Yeah.
it reminded me of like old Fear Factor when they have to eat those like big fat bug things. Nasty. And would I survive? I said, yeah, I think I could take these two. They're not like, they don't seem like they're very smart. So I feel like I could outsmart them. They're just kind of like brute strength. So if you can outsmart them, find ways to outsmart them, beat them at their own game, I think you could take them. And I mean, like, what was her name? Melissa. She almost had Agnes at that one part, right? If she would have used, it was a ski pole that she was beating her over the head with. If you would have used
Yep.
like the sharp end of that and stabbed her, like,
Yeah.
might have fared out a little bit better. But But anyways, that wraps up the episode. Brian, thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Now,
You
this
got
is a lot of
time for
fun.
one game?
Sure.
A quick game. So we do this on my Christmas podcast. I'm gonna give you guys the name of a Christmas horror movie. If you guys have seen it, the game's busted, but I try to go obscure, so maybe you haven't. I'm gonna give you three plots. You gotta tell me what the real plot of this movie is.
All
All
right.
right? And I have two, so if you know this one, I'll go to the other one. I mean,
Okay.
I have a bunch, but I'll just stick to these two. This movie is called Ugly Sweater Party.
Nope.
So this is plot one. While hosting an ugly sweater party, a fraternity falls victim to a deranged killer in this modern twist on a holiday genre staple. Plot two. At an ironic ugly sweater party, everyone is wearing the same sweater. The only problem is someone committed a murder in that same sweater an hour ago. Who is the killer at this party? And plot three, an evil, ugly sweater possesses a young man and forces him to commit murders wearing it on Christmas, which is the real plot.
I'm going with three, man. I feel like three is just so obscure that it just sounds like it fits it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with plot two.
It's three.
It was three, yes. That's great.
Yeah, we do that game on the Christmas pod. So when I do the
Nice.
horror shows, I like to bring it, and I think it's fun.
That's awesome. What was the other movie?
All right, fuck it, let's do the other movie too. All
All
right,
right.
if you've seen it, just stop me. This is called Sleigh Bells. Three sexy cosplaying women accidentally unleash Krampus. They must team up with Santa Claus to stop him. Two. After losing the Christmas spirit and discarding his family's sleigh bells, young Josh lets an ancient evil escape from the bells as they come to life. Three, a deranged killer stalks and murders at a superficial sorority house that is throwing their big annual Christmas party, which is the real sleigh bells.
I'll let you pick first on this one, Brooke.
I'm gonna say first plot.
I was gonna say that too, but I'll go with the second one. The second one kind of sounds like Santa's sleigh a little bit, but
It's the first one.
it was the first one. Okay.
Yeah, it's
Nice.
fucking terrible, by the way. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I feel like both these movies aren't great.
Ugly Sweater Party, look, I haven't seen it. I've actually seen Sleigh Bells. Ugly Sweater Party looks like it was made for like $12.
Awesome. All right.
Great.
That's
Thanks for
cool.
having me, guys.
Yeah,
Well,
man,
yeah,
for
thanks for
sure.
coming on. Thanks for the little game. That was fun.
Before we sign off, though, I gotta pick my movie for our next episode.
Hell yeah.
So, Brooke, you made me watch a very shitty movie a couple months ago called Yellow Brick Road. So I'm paying you back now. And our next episode, it's gonna be a Christmas movie, but we're watching the mean one.
Feel like I've heard of that before.
It's a horror version of The Grinch.
Oh, okay. I've definitely seen the yeah, I've seen it somewhere. Nice.
Stars
All
our
right.
boy David Howard Thornton too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
But also looks like it was made with a $12 budget.
All
So we'll see how it
right.
fares.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Brian. Really appreciate you coming on. Had a great time talking to you about this movie.
Thank you.
And yeah, if you ever want to come on again, shoot us a message and
I'm definitely down to do it anytime.
all right.
Can I plug one more time?
Absolutely, man. Go ahead.
All right. So my podcast is Reviewing History. We're a comedy history podcast. We watch movies. We tell you what's real and fake in them as we dive through it. If you want to learn and laugh a little, check out Reviewing History everywhere you get your pod, like, subscribe, YouTube, all that stuff, right? Follow me personally on all social media at Brian Rupert. That's with two P's. Follow me on Letterboxd. I rank review every single movie I watch, even the ones in my personal life. That's Brian with an I, RUPPERT on Letterboxd. You'll find me there. But the real reason I'm here, go to bandcamp.com, type in Reviewing History. It's called The Christmas Freak Off. It's a Christmas podcast. The premise is we're at a Diddy party in December 2023 before all the bad shit happens to Diddy. It's a blast. It's packed with laughs. It's $5. You're going to get 4 hours of Christmas podcasting content. You're going to love it. There's also This Ain't No Whack Christmas. Half of all that money will go to St. Jude. And there's a bundle with both Christmas podcasts, and we will honor our commitment to St. Jude on that. Reviewing History Bandcamp. Thank you guys so much for having me, Brooke and Mark. Thank you guys.
Hey, thanks,
Tom. Dream Warriors, Dokken.
Fuck yeah. All right, guys. We will talk to you later.
See ya.